a vessel of honor. That is the topic of my talk this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, this is a story that I'm going to share with you of a man who once held a place of honor, and then he lost his place of honor, and later he regained it. I think we hear a lot about this particular man. Maybe, you know, it's too often told, but it's really germane to what I want to share with you this morning. And so it's about Steve Jobs. I think we all know Steve Jobs. In 1985, Steve Jobs was pushed out of the company that he had founded. He was pushed out of Apple. Many say that he had become rigid and he was inflexible. He was hard to work with. And I think in the original biography, there were some other expletives that were used to describe Steve Jobs. Jobs was once viewed as a wonder boy. And he was just coming up with idea after idea after another. They were way ahead of his time. And he'd been put by his company in those days in a place of honor. But in 1985, he found himself in a very, very different place than he originally was. I guess we could probably say that he was no longer useful to Apple. He was put in a place of dishonor. And it was because the company that he had founded no longer found him to be useful. He was more of a problem to them than he was a benefit to them. And so in a struggle with the board of directors, he was pushed out. However, we all know that time changes things, doesn't it? And it changed things for Steve Jobs in 1997. After a series of failed product launches by Apple, they were desperate and they needed some help, and they brought Steve Jobs back. And that is when Apple started to experience real success. They really took off with some new products that Steve Jobs created and came from his mind. And so now Steve Jobs, once no longer useful to the company, now was useful. And he was restored to his place of honor in the company. Now, the question I want to pose to you first this morning is, have you ever felt in your life like you were useless? Maybe there are times in your life where you felt useful. Maybe there are times in your life when you felt dishonored or had no honor attached to your name. Or maybe there are times in your life that you felt very honored because of a position you had or something that you did or the organization that you led. We've been in a series called Worth the Risk. There are things in our life that are worth risking, taking a risk for to achieve, to make happen. And so we're going to talk about this idea of usefulness, uselessness, honor, dishonor this morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you have one this morning, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. 2 Timothy chapter 2, worth the risk. And we're going to read what Paul writes here to his son in the faith, Timothy, verse 20. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. So there's the concept that I introduced to you a few minutes ago. Some vessels useful, some not so useful, some not useful at all. Some in positions of honor and some in positions that are not honorable. Follow along with me here. I want to read a different version of this same passage to you. This is from the new NIV. It reads a little bit differently, but the concept is exactly the same. It uses different words. And so listen as I read. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. One of Paul's greatest desires, the desire of his heart, was to be useful in the kingdom. He wanted to be useful as a disciple maker. He wanted to be useful as a leader. He wanted to be useful in God's kingdom. And Paul actually wrote about that. Some of his friends in a city called Corinth, he wrote to them how he was feeling, and he wrote to them about what he was thinking. And listen to what he said about his own life, his own challenges, his own desires. From the book of Corinthians, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win, and everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable." And listen to what he says about himself. "Therefore, I run." Paul's talking about himself, and he's putting himself out there as an example for other men to follow. "Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim, or box in a way that is not to be beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave." Here's the main point. "Lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." What was Paul deeply concerned about? He wanted to remain a useful vessel in the kingdom. He didn't want to do anything in his life that would disqualify him from being used by God. And so he buffeted himself, right? He disciplined himself to make sure there was no sin in his life that would make him useless in the kingdom. So his great fear was to become disqualified. His great fear was to become useless, because the main thing he wanted in his life was to be a leader who was used by God. And he wanted that for Timothy. That's why he's writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy was experiencing some challenges at this point in his life. And Paul had been writing to him about leadership. "Timothy, do this. Timothy, avoid those things. Timothy, be the kind of leader that I want you to be. Be the kind of leader that these people who follow you, who are following you, need you to be." And, of course, Scripture is inspired for all of us, isn't it? So Paul is also saying to you and to me, to all of us in this room, that we should be a useful vessel, a useful leader in the kingdom. So this is a call from Paul to Timothy to be a useful vessel, a vessel of honor, a vessel set aside, as we just read in the New American Version, NIV version of it, to be called to a special purpose. I think we all need to think about this idea of being called to a special purpose. And if you don't know what your special purpose is, you have some work to do. And we can help you determine what your special purpose is if you'd like to talk to us about it. So let's look again at Paul's analogy. Let's look at the imagery he paints for us here. "Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels," so there, gold is more precious than silver, right? There are different kinds of honor put in different vessels, "but also vessels of wood and pottery, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Paul is telling us that there are vessels in a home that are valuable. They're cherished, that are put on display, that are carefully cleaned. Vessels that people are proud of. They want people to see them and people to use them. But he's also saying that there are other vessels in the home that are made out of wood or clay that are not so valuable, not so useful. Maybe things that are actually kept out of sight. You won't actually want anybody to see that thing. I mean, so if we really talk about this the way Paul was communicating it in that day and age, we could say this. Paul's reminding people that there are vessels that you eat off of that you keep clean. And he's also reminding us that there are vessels in the house that are the trash pot. Or maybe it's the potty vessel, right? Some more valuable, some less valuable. Some to honor and some to dishonor. So Paul's question to us is this. Obviously, the imagery is vivid. There's no doubt what he's talking about. But he's talking about men, isn't he? He's talking about men, and men who are useful or men who are not useful. Men honor him with their life or men dishonor him with their life. That's what he's talking about. So I think the people who read that letter knew exactly what he was talking about. So Paul's question is, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be a useful vessel in God's economy or God's kingdom, or are you useless? Let me tell you a quick story about a man named Onesimus. Heard of Onesimus? He Yeah, we read about him in the book of Philemon. So Onesimus was a slave, and he was a slave who belonged to Philemon. And Onesimus did something that was incredible in the day. He risked his life by doing it, and there must have been something in his life, greed or desire to have something that didn't belong to him. But he stole something from his master, who was Philemon, and he ran to Rome. He ran to the large city to disappear in the crowd, so thinking he may not get caught. While Onesimus was in Rome, something fantastic happened to him. He heard the gospel along the way, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And somehow, somewhere along the way, he connected with Paul. And Paul writes back to Philemon about this man, Onesimus. And listen to what he said. "I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, who I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me." Here's a man who at one point of his life was useless. He was a slave. He was a runaway. He was a criminal. He was a thief. It was not useful at all in God's economy. He wasn't useful at all to Paul, and he wasn't useful at all to Philemon because of what he had done. But when he connected with Paul and he heard the gospel, everything changed in Onesimus' life, didn't it? It didn't matter what his past was. It didn't matter that he was a thief and a slave and a runaway. What mattered now? He was a follower of Jesus Christ, and everything in his life changed. He became useful in the kingdom. And Paul said, he's not only useful to me here in Rome, he's useful to you, Philemon. I'm going to send him back to you because he's going to be a great asset to you in the work that you are doing. And this is a great story, isn't it? It's not maybe too different than some of us, some of the experiences that we have had. So let me ask you this question. Could that be the story of my life? Could that be the story of your life? Once useless, now useful in the kingdom because of something that God has done in our life? Think about your life. I'm going to think about my life, and I'm going to tell you about my life. There was a time, man, in my life when I was useless in the kingdom. It wasn't that I wasn't successful. It wasn't that I wasn't making money. I was making good money. Part of my life appeared to be going pretty well. But retrospectively, I look back on that time right now, and you know what I know about who I was? I was a vessel of dishonor. I wasn't a vessel of honor. The way I was conducting myself, the things I was doing, the way I was acting, caused me to be a vessel of dishonor. And at that time in my life, I was not at all useful in the kingdom. I was useless. What about you? Times in your life where you might have spent a little time in the jail up in Athens? Kelly, I will never forget you sharing that story. Thank you so much for it. I was thinking about you when I was writing this. Yeah, you were useless. And now, what, Kelly? Useful. You're useful. Well, I was not a vessel of honor. But like Onesimus, I was called to salvation. I was saved. I saw my own filth, who I really was. I asked God to forgive me of it. And I'm grateful now to say that now, through no work of my own, I'm a useful vessel. A farm boy from Ohio, once useless, standing before you, leading this ministry. Useful. Why? Because God said, "Mark, this is what I want you to do." And I'm doing it, and I'm grateful to be doing it. Well, God is first in my life now. He's first, not second, third, or distant, fourth, or whatever. He's first in my life. There are men all around us, in this room even, in your place of work, in your community, in your neighborhood, maybe you golf with them. There are men who fall into one of two categories, either useful or useless. They're either a useful leader or they are a useless leader, maybe not even a leader. And I think we all have a choice to make, don't we? We need to examine our lives and we need to say, who am I, and am I useful, and am I a vessel of honor? Back to Steve Jobs in 1997, after a series of failed product launches, you know, Apple was not doing too well, Steve Jobs returned to Apple. They needed some help. And this time when he returned to great success. Product after product after product launch was successful, and they were doing really well. So the question I wondered is why? Why was Steve Jobs so successful the second time around? And Gene and I were talking about this, and he pointed me toward the second biography of Steve Jobs. It's called Becoming Steve Jobs, written by a guy named Brent Schindler. And I'm going to paraphrase it. This is what Schindler said about Steve Jobs. When he returned, he had grown as a man. He had grown as a manager. He had grown as a leader. He became a better delegator. He was more flexible. He did things differently, and he did them without sacrificing the exacting standards that he had for the products that he designed and wanted to launch into the marketplace. See, Steve Jobs, once useless to Apple, thrown out like a wooden or clay vessel that we take the trash out, thrown out, examined himself, made necessary changes, and became useful again to the company that he had founded, and was put back in the place of honor that he once held. Now listen, we all know that Steve Jobs was no saint, right? He was no saint. I'm not saying he was a saint. Here's what I'm saying. There are things that we can learn from Steve Jobs. There are things that we can learn from Onesimus. There are things that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. So let's take a good, hard look at ourselves, guys, and ask these questions of yourself, which I had to do over the last couple weeks when I was preparing this message. Are you the leader you should be? Or are you still following someone else and missing your place of leadership? Have you been following someone so long you're comfortable there when, in fact, you should be stepping out and leading? Are you a useful vessel leading in a position God wants you to lead in? Are you useful in God's kingdom? Are you a vessel of honor? Well, I, of course, hope that you are. That's what we're about, helping you to be that kind of leader. But if you're not, I want you to look back at verse 21 quickly here in closing. Verse 21. Look at it one more time. Let me just read the whole thing. Verse 20. In a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore what? Look at what he said already. What was before? If anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. What is the first step in becoming a useful vessel, a honored leader? It is to cleanse yourself. To cleanse yourself. Paul's been talking to Timothy about leadership. Leadership, do this, don't do that, avoid this, run to this thing. All right? He said, let's be a faithful warrior. Let's be a faithful athlete. Let's be a faithful and useful farmer, Timothy. And then he comes to this point and he says, cleanse yourself of anything different than that. And if you do, you will be a useful vessel, an honored leader. And remember this in closing. It is never too late to become what you might have been. Right, men? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you have inspired this book that we call the Bible, God's Word, your Word. And you inspired Apostle Paul to write this letter to Timothy to remind us, men, these thousands of years later, sitting in this room, listening online, that we are to be leaders who are useful in your kingdom. Not this world, not this economy, but yours. Yes, we should perform well in those institutions. But as a husband, as a father, as a businessman in the broader community, we are to be leaders that honor you, and then we will be honored as well. We thank you for the opportunity. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus our Christ, in whom we believe. Amen. All right, gentlemen, have a good time at your tables this morning.